run to when my heart is filled with fear? The one who stands beside me, hallelujah, each and every day. You are Lord of Lords, my King of Kings. Lord, you're worthy of my everything. Oh Lord, we give you praise. Oh Lord, hallelujah,
we give you glory.
We give you glory, hallelujah,
we give you honor.
We give you praise,
we give you all of the praise.
Hallelujah, Lord, your word,
Lord, your word.
None else can compare. You're the rock that I can run to when my heart is filled with fear. The one who stands beside me each and every day. My Lord of Lords, my King of Kings, Lord, you're worthy of my everything. Oh Lord, we give you praise. Oh Lord, hallelujah,
we give you glory.
Oh Lord,
He the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His majesty will reign forever and ever. Yeah, come on and pray. He's worthy. Yes, he is. He's worthy. Yes, he is. Come on and pray to somebody.
Praise God. Praise God. It's my privilege this past couple of days to attend a meeting in Houston. Got to hear good sessions with Brother Nathaniel Wilson, Brother Larry Booker, and Brother Johnny Godare, and some other excellent brethren. And I am so glad to be a part of the Apostolic Church. And I had a distinct impression this past week as I was, and I like to just be a student of meetings like that and watch what's happening and feel what's going forth. I had a distinct impression that I was standing among giants. And I don't mean evil, resistant giants to keep you out of the kingdom. I mean giants in the kingdom of God. I tell you, it is so good. You're going to hear a lot of things about the Church of the Living God, and if you live long enough in the church, you'll see some things about the church that you wish were different. But when I read about the story of Jesus and the candlesticks in the book of Revelation, each of those churches, each of those candlesticks is representative of a church. And Jesus, even though he excoriates some and he challenges others and he rebukes some, he still found standing in the midst of the candlesticks. I tell you, it is an awesome, awesome thing to be a part of the Church of the Living God tonight. And the further I go, the better I like it. And I haven't found anything in life to compare with it. I love the people of God, and I love preachers, and every day when I pray, I thank God for the preachers in my life. Praise God. I got to see my pastor this week, and I got to hug Brother O.C. Marler's neck, and my goodness, I just tell you, the kingdom of God is a wonderful place, and I thank God that they let me in, and I praise God for what he's doing in this house. Praise God. We're going to work a little bit tonight on Psalms 100. And I don't know that how long we'll be here this morning. We talked about Psalms 99. The Lord reigns, and he is positioned between the cherubs. And the glory of God is on Zion, or on the house of God. And all of that speaks of the fact that God has a construct and God has a way. And if you're going to do business with God, you have to be in alignment with God. And if you want to be where he is, you have to go to where he is and do what he has commanded. Praise God. We'll pursue that a little further in Psalms 100. And I'm sure that there are some Sunday school children among us that can quote the 100th Psalm, but let's just read it together, if you would. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Praise God. If you love this and it's good news to you, as you're seated tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for it. We bless your name, oh God, and we praise you and we worship you. We're thankful, Lord God, for your word forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. In this day of of quasi-pseudo-Christianity, where the foundation theology is you don't have to do anything to get in, and no matter what you do, you can't get out. Where faith is a feeling and love is a feeling, contrary to the biblical point of view. The psalmist alarms us tonight if we are of that persuasion that it doesn't matter what you do and that love is only what you feel and not what you do, and that faith is what you feel and not what you do. The psalmist makes a list of mandates and imperatives in this tiny psalm tonight. They are perhaps a progression, and I just offer that for your scrutiny and for perhaps your consideration. But in verse 1, make. In verse 2, serve. In verse 2, come. In verse 3, know. On into the psalm, enter. And be. And bless. These are not suggestions. These are not qualified options, but these are mandates from the Word of God and the wisdom of the psalmist, which is the Word of God. I'm telling you, when you deal with the Word of God, you can't treat it like optional material, because holy men of old spoke as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. When you handle this book, you're handling the voice of God. I'm sick of people telling me I'd love to hear from God, and they haven't even buried their face in this book yet. I'm tired of a generation that wants to hear a spooky spiritual word out of the ether somewhere that touches them in their fancy. They want to know what God thinks about all kinds of things that are already established as contrary to the Word of God. But I'll tell you, when you handle this book tonight, you're as close to God as you're going to get on this earth. I'm telling you, when you handle this book tonight, you're hearing from God. It stood the test of time for 2,000 years. It's come from the hands of the apostles down to us in this form. And if you don't believe that it did, well, you're ignorant of the fact of the Dead Sea Scrolls, because while God was sending the Word of God down through the timeline of man's history, He hid the Word of God in a dry, arid land, in a cave. And the Essenes had written the scrolls, and every book of the Old Testament is represented in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they were locked up tight for 2,000 years, so that in 1948, when Israel came back to the land and the Dead Sea Scrolls were revealed, that men could look at that and say, well, look at this. The one we have in our hand reads just like the one that's been locked up for 2,000 years. The devil may have wanted to defile it, but he couldn't touch it. Men may have wanted to lead you astray by it, but they couldn't touch it. The Word of God has kept its integrity and its power for these 2,000 years. And I'm just going back to the New Testament era. And the Essenes buried those scrolls before the New Testament era. Praise God. Praise God. And from this Word of God tonight, God makes mandates for us. God, who wants to draw us close to Him and wants us to come into His Holy of Holies, God gives us mandates, and they are make. Take your life and your motive force and make. God's calling you to do. Serve. God's calling you to take on the robe of the servant and to take on the cause of the Christ who was a servant. God's calling you to come, to get up from where you are, because you can't be where you are and be where God wants you to be. You got to leave that place where you've been. Even if you've been in a place of strength and a place of blessing, the kingdom of God is fluid and ever moving and always expanding and going from glory to glory. And it's time to get up from where you are and heed the Word of God and come. Every day there's a voice that says, come. Mandates. Somebody say mandates. And then he says no. It's not a suggestion. Not if you feel like it. And it's not directed at people that stand behind wooden desks and carry a card in their pocket. He's talking to anybody that would know God. He said, no. There's some things you need to know. There's some things you need to hunger for. And it's a mandate in the Word of God. No. And then enter. You can't stay on the periphery of this. And you can't hang around on the outside of this. But you need to enter in. And then he astounds me and says, be. God's calling you to be some things. And then bless. Praise God. Verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. Well, I'm not like that. Doesn't matter. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Well, it may not be for everybody. All ye lands. It's for Jews and it's for Gentiles. Everybody is called to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a noise. Make a noise. Make a noise. You can't just sit, well, I worship God in quiet solitude. The Word of God says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Where you find God's people, there's going to be noise. And it was noised abroad. And the street in Jerusalem heard them speaking in tongues. When they laid the foundation for the new Jerusalem, for that rebuilt city where the captives came back, said you could hear the sound afar off. Praise God. Make a noise unto the Lord. Now, the Word of God gives us the criteria for noise making. He's given you flat appendages. That's what those are for. Now, you may work with those, and you may cook with those, and you may scratch your ear with those, but clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice. Praise God. Shout. He gave you a voice. Now you may call the hogs, and you may call the hun dog, and you may call the kids with that voice, and you may give directives at work with that voice, and you may use it for a lot of things, and you may sing, and I don't know what all you do with your voice, but the Lord gave you a voice. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. And so God's given you hands, and God's given you a voice, and the mandate is make noise. But it's not just any noise. It's not just any noise. This psalm begins with a joyful noise. This psalm begins with a joyful noise. Do you know there was a year, Brother Warren, where LSU beat Auburn at LSU, and the roar of the crowd was so great it set off the seismic meters in the geology building? It registered like a low-level earthquake. It was a joyful noise. What would happen? What would happen if God's people, every time they came together, just said, tonight, I'm going to pour myself out. It's too loud in here. It's too rough in here. Make a joyful noise. Give me about 20 young men on this platform. Come on, hands, voices. Give me a drummer, give me a drummer, give me a drummer. Give me a conga, give me a conga, give me a conga.
Oh.
You say, well, what's all that about? First, we have a mandate from the Word of God. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know what it does. But I will tell you this. When it was time to knock down the wall of Jericho, all they did was shout and make a loud noise. You may not understand it. You don't have to understand it. Just do it. Now hold on. One other thing. It can't just be noise for the sake of noise. It's got to be happy noise. It's got to be joyful noise. So it's got to come up out of your excitement and out of your devotion to God. It's got to come up out of your joy about your salvation and your joy that you know that God reigneth. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Right now, out of your joy, out of your salvation, out of the fact that God reigns. Hey! I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. Joy when I think about what he's done for me. Makes me joy when I think about what he's done for me. Praise the Lord. You don't have to understand this. You've got a mandate in the Word of God. All right. All ye lands. That's everybody. No buys, no passes. No, I'm not made like that. I don't feel like that. I don't understand that. Anybody ever had your daddy tell you to do something and you said, why? And he said, because I told you to. Somebody's getting the Holy Ghost in the back right now. Somebody's getting the Holy Ghost. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hey, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise. Come on, come on. God can pour out the Holy Ghost right in the middle of this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise the Lord, we got a testimony of healing right now, right in the middle of this worship. You may not understand it, but it's a God thing. It's something in the spirit. All your lands, all your lands. Oh, well, we're stuck. We got somebody praying through. Why don't you take somebody's hand? Lay your hand on somebody and just make a noise together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hey, hey. Oh, oh, she's talking in tongues. She's talking in tongues. She's talking in tongues. She's talking in tongues. Make a joyful noise. She's talking in tongues. Hey, hey. Let's give God thanks for pouring out the Holy Ghost. Oh, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Hey!
Praise God. I like this. Verse 2. Every verse, somebody gets the Holy Ghost, we'll be cranking here tonight. You know what happened just now? People responded to the Word of God. You obeyed the Word of God. Some people, if it had been at Jericho, they'd have said, I don't understand that. I don't know what that does. I don't know why. Why are we walking around the wall? Why are we shouting around the wall? This doesn't make any sense to me. We're not doing anything at all. This is not real. Praise God. But we understand the Word of God. And when God says jump, we just say how high. Because we heard God early on in our experience. We ask why, and God says, because I said so. Oh, we're going to go down in the water in Jesus' name. Oh. Good. I would ask that the children would hold themselves at bay until it's time for the actual ceremony, so that we can maintain some element of decorum. Verse 2. Make. God just says make. And so you just do. You just make. And it's not a hard thing to do. Naaman was insulted because God told him, go get yourself in the river 7 times. And the servant had more sense than the wise general of Syria. He said, if he had asked you to do some hard thing, you would have done it. But he just asked you to do a simple thing. Some people feel foolish in a praise worship like this. But the kingdom of God is clamorous. Praise God. And Paul said, speaking in the kingdom of God, he said, I'm going to make the wise of nothing by foolishness. Praise God. Because he said the foolishness of God is better than the wisdom of men. This may seem foolish to you, but somebody just got born again of the Spirit. They're about to get born again of the water. You say, well, I don't know about that. I don't believe that. Well, come see me at the judgment, honey. Come stand before the throne of God with me when it's time to go to heaven or hell. And we'll begin to understand at that point. You don't need to wait till then. You need to get this done now. You need to make. When God says make, you need to make. If God says make haste, you need to hurry. Verse 2. Everybody say, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Praise God. Serve the Lord. If you want to be great in the kingdom, the greatest among you shall be a servant. Jesus taught his disciples. He said, if you really want to be great, find somewhere to serve in the kingdom of God. Well, how do I serve God? Because I can't see God and I can't find God and I don't know God's address. And if I knew where to go and how to do it, I would serve God. How do I serve God? There are many illustrations we could use and passages we could refer to tonight, but I think one of the most clear examples and illustrative examples is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And to the sheep, he said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison, you visited me. He said, I was naked and you clothed me, and I was in a desperate place and you came to me. And they said, Lord, when did we do all that for you? He said, when you've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it even unto me. And to the goats, he said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in prison. You didn't come to me. I was sick and you didn't minister to me. I was naked. You didn't clothe me. And they said, Lord, when did not we do those things to you? They did exactly what I told them. And he said, when you did it not to the least of one of these, my brethren. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them what this story means. If you don't know, I'll explain it to you. But we serve God by serving one another. We serve God by serving one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come on, there she goes. There she goes. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise. I went to a meeting one night. My heart wasn't right, but something got a hold of me. There she goes, in the name of Jesus. Hey. I'm glad these children love to see people get baptized in Jesus' name. I'm glad these children are excited about being in the house of the Lord. Praise God. They've taken over. Praise God. She's getting the Holy Ghost again. Get all you want, sister. Get all you want. Praise God. All right, everybody say, serve the Lord with gladness. Drummers, hold your fire. To be an effective drummer, you have to know when to stop. I appreciate our children, don't you? Aren't they awesome? Praise the Lord. Everybody say, serve the Lord with gladness. Turn to your neighbor and tell them serving God means serving you and the people of God. And if I fulfill the mandate of God, I will serve you with gladness. Look, preacher, help me find something to do in the house of God. Help me to get my hands on something in the kingdom of God. I don't care what it is. Let me clean the bathrooms. Let me vacuum the floor. Let me paint the walls. Let me knock on doors. Let me go to visitation. Just let me be a part of what God is doing. And I'm going to be glad about it. Who's serving God tonight? Who's glad about it? Who's serving God tonight, but who's glad about it? My God, what a deal. He saved me from hell. He washed my sins away. I believe I'll serve him and I'll be glad about it. Serve the Lord with gladness. There's a mandate there. Praise God. Now, this is an attitudinal thing. The Word of God doesn't tolerate foolishness. My mom used to wade in among us with a big old belt. And she would say, I told you, behave. And I would cry, I'm have. I didn't quite have the language, but I got the drift. I'm have. Well, the Word of God says, be glad. That means that glad and joy and rejoicing is not a function of circumstance and not a function of conditions of life, but gladness and joy are a function of will and focus and choice. So the Word of God is for us tonight. Serve the Lord with gladness. If you're not glad, then you gotta get glad. Okay, I'm gonna give you a few minutes here to get glad. All you got to do to get glad is to begin to think about all the good things of God, all the blessings of God. My God, I could be up in a hospital tonight. I could be down at the funeral home. I could have dust on my shoes tonight from the grave of a loved one. I could be in all kinds of places tonight, but God's been good to me and I'm glad. Praise God. You just get glad. There are 10,000 voices that speak against this and say you can't just get glad. But let God be true and every man a liar. I'll tell you tonight, if you're not glad in this house and you're not in the progression of getting glad, if you skip the step of making a joyful noise and you skip the step of serving, then the potential for being glad is probably pretty limited. Again, as it was this morning, you have to get in the process of God. You have to plug into God. If you were Israel, you had to go through the process of the tabernacle. In this Holy Ghost dispensation, you've got to plug into what God is doing. Well, praise God. Praise God. But you can get glad. Now, I'm gonna go through this just as quickly as I can tonight. Somebody say, come before his presence with singing. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't you come in this house with the mully grubs. Don't you come in this house with sad sack. Praise God. Don't come in this place. I'm just barely hanging on. I can't make it another day. Your life's like a country western song, and you're singing blues, but the word of God said you ought to be singing the new song. You're counting your problems, but the word of God said you ought to be counting your blessings. You're looking at all that's wrong, but the apostle said if there be any good thing, think on these things. It's a matter of choice. It's a function of focus. When you come before God, you need to come singing. You need to come singing a song. You need to make up your own song. You need to sing, God's been good to me. You need to sing, I've been blessed of God. You need to sing, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You're waiting for more business? Praise God. Congratulations. You've been born of the water and of the Spirit. None of the Vatican councils agree with that. None of the present hierarchy in the Vatican nor in the Protestant community agree with that. But it agrees with the Word of God. Well, praise God. So when you come with a song in your heart. Praise God. Oh, I don't feel like singing. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with this. It's a mandate. Look, this is good medicine. You just do it. You just do it. How many of you were in the military? Okay. Your CO comes to you and says, here's the list. Do this, this, this. I mean, was it a discussion or a dialogue? Look, let's have dialogue about this. I want you to understand first how I feel. I want you to first seek to understand me and then to be understood. No, that's not how it works in the military. That's not how it works on most jobs. That's not how it works in life. And that's not how it works with God. God just says, do it. Do it. There's a mandate in the Word of God. Praise God. Now let me tell you, God is on your side. God means to do you good. What God commands for you is for your good. So what is the logical process there? If God's on my side and if God's doing me good, then God gives me something to do. If I do that something, what'll happen to me? Good. Good. I'm in the middle of this. I make a joyful noise. It's good for me. I come before his presence with singing. It's good for me. Well, praise God. I want you to know God doesn't need this. God doesn't need anything. He's all entire and complete all by himself. He's God. He doesn't need me or my little voice, but he's given me things to do that are for me. He said, make, serve, come, sing. Praise God. Now, there is a bit of an explanation in the midst of this, and it is, know this. Everybody say, the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Praise God. The writer said, shall the thing made speak to its creator and question his purpose? Does the clay talk back to the potter? I read in John chapter 1 where all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then he was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The maker came down to visit with the thing that was made. And the thing that was made said, we don't like your program. And we don't like what you've said. And we don't like the way things are going. Praise God. Know this. Somebody say, the Lord is God. He made me. I didn't make myself. So then he has creative ownership. He has the copyright to you. He has the patent rights to you. He has the right of creative expression over you. You belong to him. Now, this is a hard lesson for this American church. Because let me tell you something, American church. Your constitution doesn't mean anything to God. Your civil rights don't mean anything to God. Your nation full of litigation and lawsuits and suing one another, that doesn't intimidate God, doesn't matter, doesn't mean anything to God at all. Praise God. God doesn't. God just gets up in your face and says, I made you. This is what I want you to do. I made you. I want you to dance in my presence. I made you. I want you to come in the house singing. I made you. I want you to make a loud noise. I made you. I want you to clap your hands. I want you to praise me in the dance. I want you to serve the Lord with gladness. I want you to serve one another, and I want you to have a good attitude about it. Praise God. That's a hard lesson for the American church. Because the American church will turn on you in a heartbeat if you get up in the middle of their business. Take their seat, their parking space, get in their space, cross them, aggravate them, say the wrong thing. Do you know there are churches? This is a weird church. This is a weird church. But there are churches all over North America that are full of friction and hatred and bitterness and backbiting and fighting and upset people and can't have victory. They don't come before the Lord with singing. They don't serve the Lord with gladness. They don't enter into his courts with. They can't do any of that because they're worried about themselves and the expression of their ego, which is exactly the antithesis of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is selfless. The American culture is selfish, self-absorbed, self-concerned, to the degree that church is about getting my blessing rather than being a blessing, which is what God's called you to do. Having God answer your needs. Do you know the quickest way to your needs and the quickest way to fulfill your dreams is to help somebody else with their needs and their dreams? You know what the biggest blessing is? Is being a blessing to somebody else. It really is true. It really is true. You want to be great in the kingdom of God, you got to get on board with this idea of servitude. Well, praise God. Know this, the Lord made you, and not we ourselves. We are his people. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Sounds like Ezra. I love that. We are the people of the Most High God. And we build up the house that was builded long ago. Man, that sounds good. That feels good. Why don't you say that? We are the people of the Most High God. And we build up the house that was builded long ago. Makes you want to just kind of talk in tongues and shimmy and shake. Why don't you say it with a little force in your voice? We are the people of the Most High God.
Hey!
And we build up the house that was builded long ago. My God, we're building up the kingdom of God. We've got destiny and purpose tied up in this. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I don't belong to me anymore, but I belong to him. He's written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The discussion of salvation in the New Testament is long and complicated, but it really is described well by the story of the bond slave. He has come into the marketplace. He has paid the price for us. He has brought us out of the marketplace and turned us free. He purchased you by his blood, but it doesn't make you serve him. He's filled you with his spirit, but he doesn't make you serve him. But rather the story of that Old Testament character. When it was time for him to be set free, he had fallen in love with the master's house, and he had fallen in love with his master. And so he took himself over to the doorpost, and he held his ear against the doorpost, and the master came and drilled a hole right through his ear. And everybody that saw him knew he's not a slave in this house, and he's not a servant because he was bought with money, and he's not a servant because he owes a debt, but he's a bond slave. He came in bonds of love, and he let that hole be drilled in his ear, and everybody that sees him knows he serves because he loves. Praise God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Look at your neighbor and go, meh. We are his sheep. We are God's livestock. We belong to God. We've been branded by the brand of heaven. Well, praise God. And if we do this right, everybody that sees us, they know we belong to God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't want to be some sheep with sunglasses on and dressed up different than everybody else in the sheepfold. I don't want to look like I don't fit. I want to make sure that everybody sees me, knows I'm an apostolic sheep. I want everybody that sees me to know that I belong to God's sheepfold. Well, praise God. Somebody say, I'm a sheep in God's pasture. Somebody shout, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Look, when you understand that and you receive that, the mandates of the Word of God are not a struggle. When it's in the middle of the night and he needs somebody to pray, he can count on you because you're up in Adam. It might take you a minute to get your bearings, but you're ready and willing to serve God. When he needs somebody to knock on a door, you're going to be there. When he needs somebody to lay a hand on a sick brow, you're going to be there. When he needs somebody to carry the message and carry the mail of the kingdom, you're going to be there, not because you have to, but because you've fallen in love with the master and you've said to your God, God, you made me. I belong to you. Whatever you have for me, I want to be that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. In what he's given us in this third verse, it constitutes a rationale for outrageous praise and complete surrender to God. How can you be so wild and carefree in the kingdom of God? He made me. I didn't make myself. I belong to him. He's God. I'm a subject. I'm a servant in the kingdom of God. I just do what God says. How do you know what God says? I got a whole book full of what God said. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to praise him outrageously. Tell him I'm going to give outstanding service in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Spread your arms wide and tell him I'm completely surrendered to God. Praise God. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Just affirm that to God. God, I'm yours anytime, day or night. I'm yours. Whatever you need, whenever you need somebody, call on me. If you can use anything, God, you can use me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. We're almost done. Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. It's a mandate. Enter. You can't stay outside. You're going to die out there. You got to come in. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Contrary to the teaching of the quasi-pseudo-Christian world out there, there's a gate. And a gate is a restricted opening. You can't just get into the kingdom of God any old where down the highway you want. But there's a gate. And Jesus teaches about it. He said, the way is broad and the gate is wide that leads to destruction. If you're looking for any old way, you're going to wind up in destruction. But he said, narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads to life everlasting. Praise God. And so we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Praise God. We come into his gates not griping about the restriction of the kingdom of God. Not fussing and moaning about the heavy load of holiness. It's so hard to live for God. It's a burden every day, but oh, I've taken up my cross. I'm following after him. And I really want to be like you. You really inspire me to want to be what you are. All that weeping and moaning and belly aching. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And so he gives us a cure here. You come into the gate with thanksgiving. I thank you for holiness. I thank you for a strong word. I thank you, God, that you call me to walk in high places. I thank you, mighty God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise. I want you to do that right now. I want you to thank him for a narrow way and a straight gate. I want you to thank God that somebody told you this is the way. Walk ye in it. I want you to thank God for the absolutes and the mandates of the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We enter his courts with praise. We've come through the gates. We're coming into the confining arena of the courts of God. It's not some broad open plain that is open on every side, but his courts are closed in and they are defined. And they are builded according to the specifications of the word of God. And we don't come into them thinking, oh, what a dinky little universe this is, the kingdom of God. But we come in with praise saying, my God, he's brought me in out of the world. My God, I can see forever from here. The hand of God is in this place. I'm able to achieve my dreams and fulfill my potential here in this place. Praise God. We come into his courts with praise and we're thankful to him and we bless his name. Everybody say, be thankful. Now, it takes some work for some folks. Because one of the scourges of the end time, Paul says, in the last days are perilous times. Men, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Boasters, heady, high-minded, without natural affection. Unthankful. Unholy. That's a description of our world and our culture. Praise God. But the word of God says, be thankful. Now, this is so simple, but the malady is so pervasive in our culture. This is so simple. In the garden, it was as simple as God said, you can have everything. But there's one thing you can't have. Now, the response to that ought to be, praise God. I can have everything. There's one thing I can't have, but what a deal. But when the devil came, the devil said, choke on the one thing you can't have. Look at the one thing you can't have. And so in this hedonistic, self-serving, self-absorbed Western culture that we're in, it's all about my joy's gone because of one thing that I don't have. One thing that's on my mind today. things that are in my schedule, things that are in my family, and you're so bound up in your appetites, and you're so bound up in your needs and your own, your little selfish mind, that your joy can't be sustained because you're not thankful. You can't sustain joy and gladness without being thankful. This is a process, and these are all connected, by the way. You can't keep up a joyful noise without being thankful, because it's just beating and banging and screaming. And you don't even know why you're making the noise. But be thankful. Turn to your neighbor and say, be thankful. Praise God. Well, how do you just be something? Just be something.
Thank you, Jesus.
Be thankful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Dysfunctional will.
Thank you.
Be thankful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just a function of choice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Be thankful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, in order to be thankful, first, you got to quit griping. Because you can't be thankful and griping and moping and complaining all the time.
Amen.
I'm just letting the profundity sink in. You can't be griping about the boss and the job and the wife or the husband and the kids, and because griping and complaining is contagious. It's epidemic in our world. Everybody on the job is griping. The newspaper gripes. The pundits on the radio are griping. Everybody's griping about the president or the war or taxes or the government or people in their families. I mean, how many people do you meet on the job that come in and say, I'm so happy. I got the greatest life. I'm just so blessed. I got a great wife. I got great kids. I'm just, everything's so wonderful. How many people did you meet today or yesterday that said, I love the rain. This is so, unless you're some starving farmer, but I mean, come on, if you're going to be a part of the kingdom of God, you walk out one day in November or December and it's biting cold and 15 degrees, you have to go, man, I love this cold. I love to shiver. I love to shake. When it's raining on your parade, you have to be able to say, I love a little rain on my parade. It just makes it right. You have to be able to say that. You got to wake up in the morning saying, I've got the greatest wife in the whole world. I want every married man in the house to say, I got the greatest wife in the whole world. No, no, no. Somebody's not doing this with a full heart. I got the greatest wife in the whole world. Oh, there's a man running the aisle for his wife. Praise God. I want every married woman in the house to say, I got the greatest husband in the whole world. Oh, no, that was way too subdued. I got the greatest husband. No, no, no. Thankful. Thankful. Well, if I had something to be thankful for, I'd be thankful. You're blind as a bat and deaf and dumb. Praise God. I wish this is brutal, Brother Jimmy, but praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It's not brutal for you. It's brutal for them and me.
That's right. But, you know, I'm not married either, so. But I'm still going to praise God. We serve an awesome God. We really serve an awesome God. And we really, really need to serve Him with all our might. No matter what our problems are. Just look at somebody behind you. There's someone down the street. There's always someone out there that's worse off than you are. So let's all praise God.
Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful and bless His name. I need some music. I'm quitting. Be thankful and bless his name. Everybody say, I'm thankful. Now, I fill in the blanks. What are you thankful for? Just begin to talk about it. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for life and health and strength. And I'm thankful to be a part of a revival church. And I'm thankful, oh God, for the family you've given me. I'm thankful, mighty God, that you direct our paths and order our steps. Thankful for the blood that covers every sin and for the love of God that hides a multitude of sin. I thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord God, for letting me be a part of the church of the living God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can't do that long. You can't count the blessings in your life without something in your spirit beginning to just bless the name of the Lord. Everything I have, everything in my life that's good has come from the hand of God. I thank you, Lord. I couldn't breathe without you. God, mighty God, you hold my heartbeat in your hand. I praise you, mighty God. I worship you, Lord. Everybody say, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Can we gather down around the altar tonight? Can you come with your family or somebody that you love? If you need to adopt somebody, do that. Come down here and just begin to be thankful and praise God and worship God. I thank you, Lord. I magnify. Come on, if you're first, step up on the steps. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so blessed. Come on, just begin to list that long list of all that you're thankful for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, I'm blessed. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We want to hear and we want to obey the mandate of God tonight. God is so very good to us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you're standing with a brother or sister in the Lord, then I want you to tell them, I'm here to serve you and I'm here to be a blessing in your life.